From the Lynn DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 22nd day of April, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net out of Normal, Illinois. Chad Hart from Iowa State University Extension, based in Ames on campus, will join us to take a broader look at the marketplace today. We'll talk with him more in depth about beef cattle as well and last week's report and cattle across the board. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural commodities and the global region's growing weather with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org or in your favorite podcast applications.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn for the day settled at $4.39¾. That was up 6¼ cents. July at $4.49¾, 6¾ higher. And December futures for the day finished the nearby at $4.72½, up 6¼. Soybeans at $11.61, up 10½. July $11.76½, 10¾ higher. And November beans on a settlement at $11.71¾, up 10¾. Bean meal, 3/4, or rather 60 cents higher at $3.44.30. The bean oil up 66 cents as well at $45.04 for the day. Wheat futures, soft red, July harvest month up 20¾ at $5.87½. The hard red, July at $6.02½, 19½ cents higher. Live cattle futures for the day at $178 and a nickel, $2.37½ higher. Feeders at $258.47½, up $4.97½, and lean hogs at $105.50, up 67½ cents. 400 pounds. Crude oil at $81.85, 36 cents lower. Diesel fuel at $2.56½, that's a penny and 4 cents higher. And gasoline on the RBOB, the wholesale price is down about 2 cents at $2.66½ per gallon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average around 468 points higher at 38,677. Here to talk about these numbers with us is Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. It's a nice, sunny, chilly Monday. I bet farmers are in the field today and they're busy. What are conditions if you've been out and about or been hearing from them around the Midwest like?
Highly variable. I know locally here we dumped out a half inch last Thursday, but surprisingly, guys, we're back in the field on Saturday. And a little cloudy for the most part, but they ramped up. The wind's been unaccounted for. The wind's helped tremendously, and the sun, direct sunlight, helped quite a bit. So we're rolling. The trend is as you move westward, they're a little further along. Eastward's kind of hit and miss, but we're starting to see more activity take place. The planting progress this afternoon, the average trade analyst for corn as a nation is 12%. Last week, we were at 6%. Beans, 7% complete as a nation. Last week, we were at 3%. So we'll see how that falls in line. We're at the average, a little bit above average. So we'll see how these next forecasts unfold here as we move forward. When you look at the 6 to 10 day and the 8 to 14 day, it does show, moisture around, and it does show some warmer temperatures around. But we're still a little early here, and of course the dry ground's going to get it going. The concern weather-wise is the western wheat belt. We've seen some storm systems come across the Midwest here, but there's some areas in this wheat regions is kind of dry. Crop conditions this afternoon is expected to be 54% good to excellent. This is 55% good to excellent. Now, this is twice as good as it was a year ago, but just the fact that, wheat might be struggling just a little bit. Then worldwide, that Russian wheat crop's starting to dry out a little bit too. And that's what ignited the wheat market here today, as wheat was the leader.
So wheat, the leader at the moment, can it remain that way?
Well, We'll see. Hopefully it does. We've got, uncertainty in the Black Sea region. Russia continues to bombard Ukraine's export facilities. So there's still some uncertainty there. I think it can lead here for a little bit of time, but after that, we're going to have to see some raw fundamentals pick in as far as, traditional or demand coming here to the U.S. to kind of get the trade just a little bit more excited. Short covering, mainly. We moved above some shorter-term moving averages. The trade's been kind of watching this 10 and 20-day moving average. Friday in the wheat market, we closed there. We traded above it. Then, of course, last night and this morning here, we sort of saw giddy up and go. If you draw a channel on the chart there, today's high is kind of at the upper end of the channel. So I think we've probably priced a lot of buying interest here over the short term here for a day.
Does that tell you that producers who need or want to market more corn that they still have in the bin should?
We feel we're in a situation here we need to use price strength to get caught up. Fundamentally, we're in a situation where we still have ample supplies. Fundamentally, we're in this seasonal spring window when producers are in the field that marketing's slow, and we're in a situation where we get a little seasonal up move in here. So, yes, I think we have some price orders above the marketplace to kind of get caught up to where you want to be, because if there's not a big weather scare or if this demand doesn't pick up in through here, it's going to be awful hard to get real positive here as we look forward. End of the week, option expiration on the May options, not the futures, but the options. So we'll see where the chips fall there on Friday as they square those positions away. Then, of course, next week there, we've got first notice day on the May futures and see how that unfolds. So there's some little things taking place in through here. Good trade today, higher close. Hopefully we'll see some follow through here as we move into midweek time.
Some other fundamentals, I'm wondering whether they're still playing in the market, as it's still concerned about corn in Argentina, the insect pest there that has caused disease, or the dryness in the Russian wheat areas as well, and then a declining size of the soybean crop, whether that be the case in South America or not.
Yeah, South America and Brazilian bean crop in particular is, actually we saw a few move up from the 145 million metric ton closer to 150. So we're starting to narrow the gap a little bit here. It's extremely wide. You think we'd have a little better handle on here since we're fairly along with harvest activity. But it's going to take some time to sort that out. The Argentine situation, we've seen that be downgraded somewhat, leaf hoppers and disease and so forth. But we're talking 1, 2, 3 million metric tons. So they're still on track to have a much better crop than they did a year ago. As far as the export, we'll have to watch, see how timely that crop comes out or those products come out of that southern hemisphere to satisfy world demand. Other than that, I think we're just going to revert back to the U.S. weather forecast, as that's going to be the main feature here as we move forward.
And finally, Friday afternoon, there was a cattle on feed report. What'd you think of those numbers?
When you look at the breakdown on it, it was a lot more positive than what the trade was looking for. The beef sector in general continues to have a tight situation. The market reflected that today with the fat market up $2 to $3. The feeders up $3 to almost $5. So we're seeing a situation where the overall production is going to remain tight sometime soon, which tells the listeners here, if you are a griller and like to be grilling out, I'd recommend that whenever you see a sale, I'd put a little extra in the freezer there, Todd.
Hey, thanks much.
You bet. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're online on demand, too, anytime you'd like. You can always go back and listen to Kurt again, any of the rest of our programming at willag.org, or most of it, willag.org, Or if you prefer, you can listen to us as a podcast in places like Apple and Spotify. You can check us out in YouTube as well as Amazon Music and Audible and Pandora and so many more. Just search out the Closing Market Report in your favorite podcast applications, Commodity Week 2 for that matter, and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy Podcast. Or you can hit the podcast tab at willag.org, and then once you're there, you can subscribe within each of those podcast players. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, Chad Hart, agricultural economist from the Department of Economics at Iowa State University, and with Extension there now joins us. Hi, Chad. Thank you for being with us today. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
Let's start with the overview in Iowa of what conditions are like for today for farmers. It appears to me that there's an east-west function as it's related to rainfall, and that actually Cedar Falls, Cedar Rapids looks a little dry as well.
That's the deal. When you look especially, you know, say Cedar Rapids, Waterloo, northeast Iowa especially, that's where we saw the drought really intensify at the end of last year. Even though we've got some rains through there, soils are still feeling the drought aspects here. And so that is sort of the challenge as we look at eastern Iowa. Western Iowa has picked up a little more moisture. It's still sort of dry out there, but not as dry as we're seeing, like say, that Cedar Rapids, Waterloo area is really dry.
In the northwestern part of the state, are conditions pretty good and farmers rolling?
Farmers have been rolling. The idea is that, you know, that moisture that they have seen has given them those openings. And so especially when we look at the, you know, the early planting we were seeing here in Iowa, actually northwest was coming in stronger than usual.
When they're in the tractor cab, they're much happier. They probably will not have completely forgotten that they have old crop corn yet to sell. What are you telling them?
Well, you know, I've made a joke with many of them. If you've held on this long, you're probably holding on for Mother's Day. So, you know, I think a lot of folks are looking for some more of a seasonal price rally here that, again, some of the drier conditions here in Iowa have got some folks hanging on to grain, thinking that the market has to give them a little bit more of a weather premium this spring.
As you take a look at the marketplace overall, corn particularly, what are you watching?
A few big things here. One of the things I'll be watching is later today, we'll get that crop progress report. Let's see how quickly this crop is going into the ground. You know, when I look back at last week, it was real early, but you could see we were running a bit ahead. I think, you know, in this case, I'm going to argue, especially here in Iowa, the rains that we did get over the past week slowed us down a bit, but it was good to get that slowdown because we needed that moisture. The other thing I'm watching is South America. You know, every time I hear a report out of there, it seems that that crop is trying to shrink, and that is going to help us as well if we can see some smaller numbers coming out of Brazil and Argentina.
Will we see smaller numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture, do you suppose?
Well, therein lies the rub. We haven't yet. But I think, you know, the idea is that the pressure is building for that. I mean, it seems like for the past 3 months, private estimates and those coming out of the official publications down in South America have been pointing to a smaller crop. The last domino to fall will be USDA's number.
Any response to last Friday's cattle on feed numbers and what that might mean for usage?
Well, that's the deal. I think on usage, it's good. Let's call it good short term, not so good long term. As we look at, you know, the numbers on feed right now, they are stronger than they were last year. That's indicating a, you know, good, strong feed demand here in the short run. But the problem is, as we look further down that line, it means that this cattle herd does continue to shrink. That's going to lead to less feed demand as we look out a year or two from now.
This is something that USDA pointed to 4 years ago, that now things would be smaller. And you're telling me they'll continue to get smaller for the herd size in the United States?
Right now, it seems to be the case. I mean, when we're looking, for example, you know, out of that cattle on feed report, you'll notice that the number of heifers in those feedlots right now is up 1%. That shows we're still not retaining those heifers, and we're still not building that calf crop up to start to rebuild the cattle herd.
Is consumption just not strong enough for beef in the United States and in the export market?
Well, I think it's a combination of exports have been in line with, I'll put it this way, our production. I think it's just that right now, when we look at the value of that animal in the feedlot, when we look at the value of those cull cows, the idea is there's just a lot of value in the meat that's hard to deny when you're worried about the value of the cattle. Because right now, and what we've seen out of the cattle market over the past 18 months has been this seesaw up and down again as everybody tries to figure out how to time this cattle cycle.
Well, cattle does have a cycle in it. Has it been changing at all? Is it shorter? Is it longer? Is it still the same, but with a fewer number of animals overall?
Well, that's the deal. We have been trending down over the last couple of cycles. And you could argue that, on a historical basis, our cycles do seem to be getting a little longer. But, the grand question here is more of, I'll call it a short-term one here, is that, we know given the, the number of heifers we're retaining here, that we're going to eventually hit a point where beef production will have to really drop significantly just because those animals aren't out there anymore. And then how do consumers respond to that?
Is this because farmers in Iowa, Illinois, the grain belt itself have eliminated beef cattle from their operations?
I wouldn't necessarily argue that. I think when we're looking here, it's not that it's been eliminated from so many farms across the nation. It's more that, everybody's sort of pulled back a bit right now. We are seeing basically, any calves that you're creating right now, more than likely, their plan is right now to get them to the feedlot as soon as they possibly can. And so that is limiting any potential for growth.
One other question on cattle, and then I'll move on to soybeans. Has the dry weather, long-term dry weather, in the western United States impacted the size of the herd and the way it moves through the system, meaning pasture lands have moved out?
Oh, yeah, definitely has been the case. I mean, you could argue that a good chunk of this downturn within our cattle numbers was driven by the long-term drought that we've had and, just the lack of potential to maintain those animals on the grasslands and prairies of the southern plains. With drought sort of rebuilding down there, that is, again, continuing to limit their ability to try to ramp back up again.
Now turn your attention to soybeans. How worried should we be about the export market overall for this year and for the crop that's going in the ground?
Well, I'm definitely worried for this year, but let's face it, I think a lot of the damage is already done to this year's crop as far as those exports are concerned, and that's why USDA has continued to lower that export target as we look for the 2023 crop. But I think given that we're continuing to see those issues, it does bring up concerns about 2024, especially now in the case of, the South American crop may be getting smaller, but the idea is we haven't been able to gain any significant market share. Our prices still remain a little bit higher than what we're seeing out of South America, and we do see the dollar strengthening a bit here. And so it's sort of this combination of little things adding up that have just prevented any sort of growth on the export side.
Any advice for producers who are in the tractor cab this week as it's related to marketing?
Well, I like to tell them this is one of those times where they don't like to think about marketing, so I try to make it easy for them. I say, think about that crop you've got in the bin right now. What's the price that it takes to move that? I want you to at least have that as an offer out in front of, your grain marketers in the area. That way, if you do get that, if we do see a premium hit in the day, as I looked earlier today, we did have a little rally going on. Hey, you know, that's a chance to maybe get something marketed while you're sitting in that tractor cab.
Hey, thank you much.
Thank you, sir.
Chad Hart is an Iowa State University Extension agricultural economist. He's based on campus in Ames. Mark Russo now joins us to take a look at the weather forecast for the global growing regions. Hi, Mark. Thank you for being with us again this week. We appreciate that. Let's start in the Corn Belt. Farmers would like the planters to roll. It's now the 22nd day of April, and there's some rain that comes here and there. Can you tell me about the forecast over the next 7 days or so?
Sure. Here for this week, all in all, it's a pretty normal week here. Some rains around, some dry weather as well. So not totally open for planting, but we're not seeing any kind of exceptional, you know, wet areas developing at the present time. So as a overall, like at least the driest part of the Corn Belt will be the Eastern Belt, especially Indiana, Ohio. Whereas later on this week, a storm system will produce rains across more of the Western Belt, even produce a threat of severe weather as well. So, and that even looks to continue on into next week too. So generally a normal planting window here with the pattern across the Corn Belt. And one last thing too, in terms of temperatures, following a little bit of a still cool bias here the next few days, then temperatures will be warming up late this week over the weekend and look actually warmer than normal than for that upcoming time frame.
And then check in on the winter wheat growing regions of the Great Plains for me.
Yeah, kind of a mixed bag across the region. Still, western Kansas could use some more rain here coming up. And while there are some opportunities for rain, again, it doesn't look great. But again, it's not totally dry there. So really, overall here, there's, you know, some opportunities for rain, and we'll see how much improvement, albeit we think will be kind of little improvement in the short term, but at least in those driest areas, see a little bit of rain and also see warmer temperatures coming up this week as well.
An update on the South American weather forecasts?
Yeah, in terms of soybean harvesting, Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil will continue to struggle here coming up as the pattern remains active over the next couple of weeks. No sign of any extended breaks. Argentina, soybean and corn harvesting a little bit better. Still some rains in the northeastern part of the belt to slow things down, but the rest of the belt looks to have fairly open weather here coming up. And then for Brazil, Safrina, drier and warmer pattern will be in place through the end of the month. The next opportunity for rain, just in the southern acreage and around Paraná, that'll be taking place the early part of May to provide a little bit of dryness relief there.
Hey, thanks much, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Dad.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics and joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. Just click and play from the website at willag.org or search us out in your favorite podcast applications. Places like Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Amazon Music, Audible, Pandora, and so many more. The theme music for this program, The Closing Market Report, is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.